Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, February the 9th, 2026, 2926, 14 and a half minutes past the hour here. You're tuned into WGH Talk Radio, and we have got a great show for you this morning that you are not going to want to miss. We should have a great guest coming up here momentarily, and then next hour, during the 9 o'clock hour, we have a guest, a couple guests that you are not going to want to miss, live in the studio, so stay tuned to WGH Talk Radio this morning. These are things you are not going to want to miss, so stay tuned. It is going to be something for sure. Now, we're going to start the morning off here. I need to step out for just 1 second to make sure everything is in good shape here. I'll be right back after this short but important break, as they say, on WGH Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere.
We're having fun every day on Now with Scott Spears. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you? Scott Spears, Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunaway, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Friday.
All right, and we're back here on WGH Talk Radio this morning. 16 and a half minutes past the hour, and we have a guest on, hour number one this morning, who I have wanted to talk to for some time. As of this week, he has officially filed his nomination paperwork to make a bid for governor of Ohio in the Republican primary coming up this May. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones for the first time, but I hope not the last, Casey Putch. Casey, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for coming on the program. You have filed the paperwork. How does it feel?
It is a relief. I'll be honest. Doing all of this isn't without stress. It is rewarding. It's fun to connect with everybody, and feels so much better to be able to have another option to actually be able to vote for and have the people behind that. So getting it in properly, being treated well by everybody of Secretary of State when we actually filed, it was a good feeling. So I went on over to my favorite restaurant in Columbus and had some comfort food and a beer to celebrate.
Why and when did you decide you wanted to be in this race, this Republican primary?
Well, certainly. In the last 5 years, I got very unhappy with what was happening in culture politically in the United States. And then if we fast forward to when I saw Vivek be astroturfed in way too early into the Ohio primary, I frankly started getting angry because I knew it was wrong. It wasn't natural. And there was just bad things afoot. And as I watched this over the course of the year, last year, it just kept burning and burning in my soul. And frankly, I knew that I couldn't be happy if I didn't run against that, because from everything I could see, Vivek is only a globalist Trojan horse.
Hmm. It's very interesting because a lot of people express that opinion in the Republican Party. Dave Yost was certainly not happy that the Ohio Republican Party endorsed Vivek. I don't think Governor DeWine was happy with it. I think he preferred Jim Tressel. I talked with him last year at the Little Brown Jug about that. He hoped Jim would make a run. Why do you think the Ohio Republican Party made that endorsement before a primary or even all the candidates were in?
I think there was an inside power struggle, and I think it was all about money and dollar signs. And we were riding a wave in the United States of support behind electing Donald Trump. So by the time everyone came to their senses, it was too late. And old Vivek was being just glossed right in a wave of money. And keep in mind, this is a man who didn't go to higher education in Ohio. He went to Harvard and Yale and got money paid for by Soros family money. No businesses in Ohio, despite his massive wealth. No philanthropy in Ohio. So it is pretty disgusting, and it's sad. I think, frankly, so many people within the Republican Party, whether that's at a county level or even state level, are feeling hugely remorseful. But they're at the stage where they're afraid to say anything. But now we're in a new chapter where, obviously, I have filed, being a lifelong conservative Republican member, building the Dennis Garage educational program, building the high-efficiency 100-plus mile-a-gallon diesel car you may have seen on Tucker's show a year ago, trying to build a wolf company, working hard to make Ohio better. People are starting to come out of the woodwork right now. So hopefully it's not too late and all the people within the GOP come to their senses.
You know, a lot of people felt, in the Ohio GOP at least, that because Vivek got President Trump's endorsement very early on, that this was going to be the guy. How do you feel about President Trump endorsing Vivek so early in this?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I actually have a better endorsement from President Trump before Vivek. In 2018, I was given a Lifetime Achievement Award in education for my thousands of volunteer hours mentoring the best young engineers here in Ohio for the future and getting them amazing jobs everywhere from Lockheed Martin and even Tesla, Ford and GM and Marathon and a whole other host. And I got that on my wall signed by President Trump, the beautiful enameled pin and a lapel pin. And old Vivek got a tweet saying he's a swell guy for Ohio. So, yeah, I think we're going to have to readdress that because when the people of Ohio see what's going on, they see that I earned my endorsement from Trump helping the people in Ohio, and Vivek got his through political deal-making.
Do you think you might be able to get the president's endorsement now that you are officially in this race?
Well, he's a very busy man, but I think if real information gets to him and he can actually make a real assessment of who I am, what I stand for, and what's happening here with what the people think, absolutely. I think if he has a fair shot to see what's going on, he will endorse me publicly and remove Vivek.
Why do you think he endorsed Vivek?
Political deal-making. I don't think Vivek could cut it in Doge, or they wanted him out. And they just figured, hey, he can behave himself well enough and be part of the party. We'll just stick him in Ohio. And I think that was a hugely regretful decision for everyone involved. I think the entirety of the White House, I think the entirety of the GOP, because Vivek over the last 2 years has done nothing but embarrass everyone in the GOP. Talking down to Americans, talking down about our heritage, our families, and simply everybody just seeing the cracks in his facade that he's done nothing for America and nothing for the state.
You know, a lot of people say that Vivek has an ego, that he's arrogant. I've heard that from a lot of people. What do you think that is?
Well, you know, everybody that's confident, there will be people that say have an ego. You know, with me, when I'm doing something I'm confident of, or if I stand my ground for something I believe in, somebody might say you're arrogant. But with Vivek, it truly is a different story. This is a man who, based upon everything we can see, and keep in mind, he was born to Indian foreign nationals. So I don't know if he's got a bone to pick as a small child just hating Americans. But this is a man who's gone out and, by all means possible, has only lived his life for the sake of money. Yet, what has he ever actually created? What has he ever actually done for anybody or community? Because, you know what? I can't find it. Nothing. Whereas I'm, and my family is the complete contrast to that. We actually care about everybody. But, you know, we just can't suffer Vivek's mean, arrogant, condescending, top-lofty little nerdness anymore. We're just over it.
You know, it's interesting. Jim Renacci, former Ohio congressman, was on the show. He ran for governor back in 2022 against Mike DeWine in the primary. And he said that he has talked to Vivek privately and said being a Hindu will be a problem in certain parts of Ohio, rural areas of Ohio, where Republicans need to win. Do you think his religion might figure into this in any way?
You know, United States is freedom of religion, and I support that, and I'll defend that, of course, forever. But, you know, that is just another component of Vivek's unelectability, because he simply does not relate to the people of Ohio and the people of America. And when he opens his mouth and speaks down upon us about our heritage, it just makes people tremendously angry. So, you know, freedom of religion here, that's great, but Vivek is a jerk, and all the things that make him different than all of us make it obvious to the people that he does not represent us or our best interests, and is just a tech bro globalist Trojan horse.
You call him a jerk. Have you met Vivek?
No, I watch him. He doesn't care about anybody. I mean, look at his bodyguards. They were arrested on federal drug trafficking charges for OxyContin, apparently fentanyl. One was a school teacher. He spends a tremendous amount of time with that. You know, and frankly, I had heard, because someone had come to me, that the reason he was arrested is one of his bodyguards said some racial slurs about some of the Ohio State football players. And, you know, this is a guy that Vivek is really great at buying his way on every media thing. He's great about going on every podcast and talking all smooth so he can be like the conservative Kamala Harris with his word salad. But we all see through it. It's an act. It's over with. You know, he's not a real guy. He's not a real boy. He can't go to a bar. He can't go out in the general public and sit there all day long and answer every single question and be a real person, because he never wanted to be a person of Ohio. He never cared. His track record shows it. He just wants money and power. And it kind of doesn't matter why. It's just time for him to go.
One more question about this, and then I want to get to what you're going to do for Ohio and your agenda.
Yes.
But if, and we all want to be positive, but if you were not to be successful in the Republican primary, is there any chance you would endorse or vote for Vivek this November?
Not if you put a gun to my head. Absolutely not. You know, my values go back generations. My grandfather, that was Battle of Okinawa, World War II, Army infantry, didn't miss Ohio State football game for 50 years. He was my mentor in terms of politics and standing your ground for values. The Ohio GOP, with Vivek leading, has been 100% sold out, literally, to billionaire tech bro interests beyond Ohio. Vivek is a Trojan horse. Not with a gun to my head would I ever support Vivek or anybody that backs him.
Mm. You are running on the America First agenda. Tell us what that is, Casey.
Well, simply, we've got to take care of home. America, Ohio home, America first. We don't need foreign interests here. We simply need to look after ourselves. We are not a free ride for any massive amounts of immigrants, illegal or legal, coming in from third world countries. We are Ohio. We have to take care of our own education, our own opportunity to own homes and have a future, and to not sell out to where we lose all of our jobs, or let massive tech come in and use data centers that are only a leech and a net loss to Ohio. That's simply what that means. We have to take care of us first.
Hmm. We've got about 3 months until the primary. It's right around the corner. You are in this race. How are you going to get the exposure and have the ability to defeat Vivek in this primary?
Well, I hope that the big tech doesn't pull any big tricks and shadow ban me any harder on X and whatnot. Fortunately, we live in a time of the internet and a time of the people. And the beautiful thing is, just by virtue of me coming out and interacting with people at rallies, obviously being on the internet and how that travels and builds, the contrast is unbelievable. So the word is spreading faster than anybody's ever seen before. As an example, when I first announced in December, Vivek didn't last another 2 weeks on X and Instagram before he rage quit publicly because the backlash was so large. You know, the Ohio GOP and Vivek as well, of course, they bought their way and cleared the entire field. So he thought he was just going to have a smooth path all the way to the governor's mansion, which is hilariously illustrated by the fact that I'm told he just bought a $5 million home about a block away from the governor's mansion. So what's happened is the entire world has just woken up and go, whoa, Casey Putsch represents a real Ohioan that has cared, that has worked hard for over a decade, building engineering schools, helping people get jobs, building a 100-plus mile-a-gallon car, trying to build a watch company, and representing the actual values and the people of Ohio for the best interest in the future. And Vivek is the disgusting globalist Trojan horse that bought his way in. He needs to go. And that's what we're seeing from the people.
Casey, for people who say you running in this Republican primary and saying these things about Vivek is helping Amy Acton, who does not have a primary challenger at this point and doesn't look like she will, what do you say to those Republicans?
Certainly. Well, there is obvious misnomer of people saying it's splitting the vote. Those people don't know what a primary is. At the time being, it is only Vivek versus me. Obviously, winner goes on to go against Amy Acton. So I would just simply say, if anybody is concerned that my existence of an actual Ohioan that has cared, that has worked hard for a long time, that is representing real values and simply telling the truth and standing for the people of Ohio, if that hurts the GOP's chances to beat Amy Acton, who I'll remind you resigned as health director, citing the pressure was too much and is a revolting candidate in her own right. But if me being here as an actual Ohioan doing all the right things hurts the GOP's chances to beat Amy Acton, that's not the GOP. It doesn't exist anymore. And they don't have everybody's best interest in mind. So they may not like what I'm saying is, Vivek being a part of the GOP right now is a you problem to them.
Let's talk a little bit about Amy Acton. She's raised a lot of money, broke a lot of records in the Democratic Party for raising money. She's out there. Doesn't look like she'll have a primary challenge. What do you make of her?
She needs to be forgotten. She resigned as health director, citing the pressure was too much. She locked down the state for COVID. All she is a nice haircut and a smile right now, and just a default place for leftists to vote. We need to forget she's here either, because she's not acting in anybody's interest. Both Vivek and Amy are revolting choices for the state. They are nothing more than the swamp. They're both characters of the Uniparty and just a different flavor of the destruction of the future of Ohio.
Is there any chance you would ever vote for Amy Acton if you are not the nominee for the Republican Party?
Absolutely not a chance. I mean, the absolute revolting sellout nature of the Democrats over the last 5 years is frankly what got me saddled up to go into politics. It's just such a disaster. The Democrat Party has been completely sold out to destroy the social fabric of America in every way, shape, and form. I think no one is better off for everything the left has done over the last 6 years, and in no way will we be better off if they continue. This is not just beating up on Vivek. Vivek is a horrible, horrible future for Ohio, but Amy Acton is an absolute disaster, too, and that's why, frankly, I'm here, literally risking it all, including the life of me and my family.
If you are not able to obtain the nomination in the Republican primary, is there any other way that you would keep campaigning? Would you try to be a write-in candidate?
First of all, it's not possible, I believe, once I'm in as a Republican, for me to run as an independent or some capacity like that. But I am a public figure, and I will keep voicing my opinion. And if the Republican Party in Ohio thinks that I'm going to somehow get in line with them and be nicey-nicey and say things to Vivek that I know are absolutely untrue, I think they need to touch grass and realize what reality actually is. Not with a gun to my head will I support Vivek, and I sure as heck will not vote for a Democrat.
When it comes to our governor, current governor, Mike DeWine, been in politics for a long time, about to wrap up his gubernatorialship at the end of this year. What do you make of Mike DeWine's 8 years as governor?
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Mike's got to go. I mean, there's no actual leadership there at all. None. I really have nothing else to say about it.
What do you make of the fact that Mike DeWine did endorse Vivek? And I just want to read this quote from his endorsement, which he sent out as soon as Mr. McCulley was chosen as Vivek's lieutenant governor choice. Mike DeWine said, "With the election year upon us, I am joining Republicans across Ohio in supporting our dynamic ticket for governor led by Vivek Ramaswamy. Ohio is winning new businesses, projects from the coast, and Vivek will keep the momentum going. Vivek Ramaswamy knows that Ohio is the best state to build a business, raise a family, and pursue your vision of the American dream.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he didn't write any of that. That's pretty obvious. Secondly, he said that he wasn't going to endorse anybody until the end of the primary, which is exactly what you do before that. Why did Mike get pressured so badly to suddenly endorse for that good a strange time? That's because somebody named Casey Putsch came out swinging, and all of Ohio went, holy crap, the GOP is putting a globalist Trojan horse in. That is all political deal-making. That is nothing other than us seeing in Ohio the absolute magnitude of the swamp. There's nothing more to it than that. Frankly, I kind of like that Mike endorsed Vivek because it just shows who actually cares about us and who's just a swamp rat sellout.
One more thing here from Mike DeWine, because a lot of people were surprised back in December when he was giving an interview and made this statement in regard to Amy Acton. He said, the decisions that were made during COVID, they were my decisions, so no one else should blame someone else if they don't like it. The buck stops with me. What do you make of that? Him defending Amy Acton? Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike has always hidden behind never taking responsibility for anything. And two, it does seem like he was trying to help her, period, because that's what it is. He's on his way out. It doesn't matter. He can take the shot. That, of course, is very weak, and the fact that anybody would make that statement in politics just goes to show he doesn't understand the public at all or how the Internet works. But, yeah, that just goes to show how weak he is, how weak his leadership is, and that he was trying to protect Amy Acton, which is funny because then he, of course, endorses Vivek. So all the public, we're all just looking at that and going, okay, you guys are all uniparty, disgusting establishment swamp rats. It's time for you to go.
How do you think this happened? How did the Republican Party become so entrenched, as you call them, swamp rats?
Well, there's something called the prisoner's dilemma. It's a kind of a hypothetical intellectual construct that if you think about for just a few moments, it totally understands why all of Washington, D.C., and state-level politics eventually just become what seems like organized criminal behavior. So in the prisoner's dilemma, now keep in mind this is a hypothetical construct, you've got two prisoners. They both committed a crime. They're in separate cells. They can't interact with each other or see what's going on with each other. To each prisoner, someone comes up to them and says, okay, you know, how do you plead? Are you going to snitch on the other guy? Well, if one of the prisoners snitches on the other prisoner, and the other prisoner doesn't tell, he doesn't snitch, he just stays quiet, well, then the person that snitches gets a gain. They either have no sentence or something positive happens to them. But that only happens if the other person doesn't snitch. If they both snitch, they both get in trouble. They both get hammered. But the interesting thing is, if they both realize neither one of them tells on the other person, neither one of them snitches or reveals the illegal activities, their sentence is pretty low. So over time, criminals find out that the best course of action for their future as a whole is to never snitch on the other person. Isn't that exactly the way Washington, D.C. and state-level politics work? We know there's massive amounts of fraud and criminal activity. Look at the Somali daycare fraud up in Minnesota. Well, Ohio's got darn near the same thing with our Somalis, with our Haitians, with frauds relating to H-1B Indian workers. Massive amounts. And then old Mike DeWine just says, oh, well, that's the price of doing business. Whoopsies. I added the whoopsies part, but yeah, sure, that's what he's thinking. That's why they all become, as we say, swamp rats. Because when they're in long enough, they learn their best future collectively is you just don't tell on the other person. And that's why no one ever goes to jail. There's no accountability, and they're just going to spend our state of Ohio and the nation into debt and into oblivion. Because the other thing about the government is, hey, they're always there to be the government, so even if they destroy all of our lives and make it to where we can't afford a home, we can't drive our cars anymore, we're being surveilled into oblivion by tech bros, it doesn't matter because the government will be able to tell us what to do and regulate our lives more. So, yeah, we're being led by a uniparty bunch of criminals.
There has been a lot of talk as of late that ICE might be headed towards Springfield, Ohio, with the Haitian population there. Yeah. How would you handle that, and how do you feel about that?
It's simple. 100% support and coordination with President Trump and his administration with ICE. Now, that needs to be done for a number of reasons. One, if someone is, in fact, an illegal immigrant, the first word is illegal. There's a criminal act, and that needs to be dealt with properly, so that we actually have a future here in America. The other right reason why it's important that all of the government officials, and most especially a governor in the case of me, the reason why I and Ohio will be coordinating is that way it can be done efficiently, and we can avoid all these paid-for radical leftist freaks that are turning a situation that could be done humanely and efficiently into something that potentially is more violent. So it's simply understanding what's in the best interest of the people of Ohio and working with the president to ensure that happens.
What do you make of the instances that have happened in Minnesota with ICE as of late that have caused so much, gotten so much attention?
Well, it's pretty obvious there's massively coordinated, paid-for, radical leftists doing that. And I don't mean that as a talking point. It's really obvious to see what was going on with the signal chats and such. The harassment was 100% orchestrated and managed to go against ICE. So all of these things and all this escalation is simply because of that. But the other thing that concerns me, to be perfectly honest, the right knows that's going to happen. That what? Why did they not do more to alleviate that, to stop that? Because that right there is an example of why the left a long since ago had anybody's best interest in the mind. And they're here to destroy the social fabric of America, make things dangerous and volatile. But the right, the thing that scares me the most is, when things pop off and become violent, regardless of the reason, if, shall we say, the right or those connected with the tech bros aren't doing enough to stop things from escalating or stop things from becoming violent, that you then have to ask yourself, is this just because they want to put in mass surveillance, SWAT cameras, data centers, AIs to completely surveil the entirety of our life and control us? It's basic political gamesmanship of a world, national, and state level. So I don't like it. And that's why simply as a governor of Ohio, when I am in, I am a person that cares first and foremost and only about all the people of Ohio. It has nothing to do with politics, simply all the people of Ohio. So we have to work with our presidential administration to do the thing in the most efficient and appropriate way with the foresight to know that there are entities on either sides of the fence that are trying to destroy our future. And so we can do this efficiently and that everybody here can live and believe in a good future.
When it has come to the instances in Minnesota with Mr. Pretty, Alex Pretty, and Renee Good, what do you make of those instances and people calling that murder?
Well, there's a massive amount of outside money, even from outside of the United States and from billionaires and organizations that are stoking this fire. You know, there's a lot of people all over the United States that are sad, depressed, downtrodden, angry. And, come on, we're all smart enough to know that these powers are able to find those people and stoke their interpersonal fire and create a situation that will potentially lead to violence. So, yeah, all of that is terrible to see. It's a horrific thing to see that Americans fighting each other, fighting against ICE, that is simply removing illegal people so that we can have a future. There are sad, angry, and confused people out there that are being taken advantage of. Again, that's why I got so sick and tired of the left and how they've destroyed the social fabric of America with the black community, with the rainbow community, even with legal Mexican immigrants relating to ICE. I'm tired of all that, and we know it exists. But ICE and that needs to happen. We just have to facilitate all this in a way that is simply in the best interest of the people rather than political gamesmanship for power.
Somebody else running for governor, Heather Hill, who's been on this program several times, she's running as an independent. She was not happy with the Republican Party. She felt that they had pushed her out. What do you make of her candidacy?
You know, I've met her once, and I've spoken to her on the phone once. She seems nice. But frankly, I really haven't paid much attention to her because we've got bigger and more pressing issues to take care of. And right now, I'm in a massive effort with the people waking up and taking our state back from a globalist Trojan horse.
Who would be your donors? Who are your people that are going to support you in this Republican primary?
Well, first and foremost, it's all the people of Ohio. It's truly an incredible tidal wave of support, obviously with volunteers and well-wishing and shares, but money too. But beyond that, donors and larger donors, it simply comes from everybody who share the America First philosophy. Those people are going to be large business owners, and people that specifically want to produce here in Ohio. They want America to be right for the right reasons, where people are going to be able to get jobs, and their lives have simply been a track record of just that. So my donors, whether it's individuals, more well-heeled people, or even PACs, those are all people that just represent an Ohio home, America first direction, that care first and foremost about our home, our nation, our state, and our future people here.
Hmm. President Trump, he's into his second term a little over a year now. How do you rate his second term as president? You're number one.
A lot of excitement coming in. So many of us, including me, fought hard to give him that opportunity. I think the first year was a teasing year. We had some hiccups, and there were at least three big things that I have been wildly vocal about in terms of criticizing. However, what I've been seeing of late in the last number of months, I'm feeling a lot better about. For instance, President Trump looking to bring ICE into Springfield to remove that Haitian population that is a net loss to Ohio. I see him pulling back on H-1B visas, which are allowing massive amounts of Indian people in here that literally take away and destroy jobs despite being even not as qualified as our native Ohioans. So I'm seeing President Trump now doing a lot of things that are absolutely America first and are perfectly in line with my campaign and what the people of Ohio want, which is actually, to be perfectly honest, I kind of wondered this myself this morning. I'm like, there's no way Vivek's going to last much longer. Trump is going a direction that's much better, and it's clear that Vivek is still doubling down with his globalist agenda.
Mm. Do you think Vivek could beat Amy Acton in a general election?
Absolutely not. I think Vivek and the GOP is trying very hard to cover the fact that he's trailing right now. And the fact that a man that has all the money in the world, that has been astroturfed in over a year early to the GOP, and that basically was doing the entirety of the media tour, including all the biggest podcasts, for 2 years, if that man cannot beat Amy Acton, who is a revolting Republican candidate, I mean, she quit as health director. This woman has no genuine leadership. And the fact that Vivek is trailing Amy Acton in a state that is already red and voted for President Trump is abysmal. I mean, it's absolutely abysmal and laughable, and it's time for the GOP and President Trump to realize that and change course. So, fortunately, my ship's on the right direction.
So you feel if Vivek wins this primary against you, that Amy Acton will be the next governor?
Absolutely. The GOP, Vivek, and everybody that is behind Vivek will have turned the state blue, period. And that will have nothing to do with me. That has absolutely to do with their lack of any foresight, leadership, doing the right thing, touching grass, or caring about the people. Because Vivek is truly the worst candidate I think we've ever seen.
Does Vivek being, he would be the first non-white governor if he were to win, is that working against him as a candidate, do you feel?
No, I think we're all pretty colorblind, to be perfectly honest, unless you listen to the radical leftists that have nothing better to do than just call everybody a Nazi. No, I think that's silly. I think people are simply looking at his track record and what he does. Keep in mind, this is a man he didn't go to Ohio State. Heck, I'm third-generation Ohio State grad. He went to Harvard and Yale. And from what I was hearing in the interviews, he was already making well over $500,000 a year in college, yet he takes a scholarship from George Soros' family money. He's got no businesses in Ohio. Despite being allegedly worth almost $2 billion, he's done zero philanthropy in Ohio. I spent the last decade of my life mentoring the best young engineering students and getting them jobs. Me as a normie, building an educational program, building a 100-mile-a-gallon car. Vivek is a disaster. There's nothing there. He's just a man that's out here for power. Nobody even knows what he's ever created, and you can't change that. There is not a PR person on earth that's going to be able to take that one-trick pony that already did his trick a year ago and make people forget about the fact that he couldn't even hack it at Doge. Hmm. It's time for him to go, and I think the Republicans are waking up right now.
Obviously, you're not a fan of Vivek or Amy Acton, but is one worse than the other?
They're both revolting. It's pick your flavor, pick your poison. They're both absolutely disastrous for the future of Ohio. And this is in no way hyperbolic. I am literally risking my life, my livelihood, my family's life right now. I am a normie. Politics is the most dangerous thing you could think of. It's revolting. The amount of billionaires that I'm making angry right now is incredible. And the reason being is no one is standing specifically for the future and the interests of the people of Ohio right now. It's just all lies. I mean, Sean Ryan tweeted not long ago, it's all a lie. And I would love to say otherwise, but Vivek is a horrible candidate. He has to go. We have to get the GOP back on track for actually representing the values of what the Republican Party is supposed to be. The Democrats can sort their crap out when they figure it out. But right now, I am simply here to, one, beat Vivek in the primary, vote on May 5th, and then beat Amy Acton in the general and save Ohio.
Casey, when you say your life is literally in danger and your family's life, what do you mean?
First day in politics?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you get death threats. Of course billionaires and such can funnel money around other places to inspire radicalized groups and stuff, to put pressure on people, to kidnap people, to kill people. Of course, we live in a country where people no longer have faith in our legal system, which is something huge that I want to combat against and bring back fair and balanced law to all people, regardless of what socioeconomic class you're in. You know, these centimillionaires and billionaires can just lawfare people into oblivion. It doesn't matter if the suit is frivolous or not. They can just bankrupt you 11 ways to Sunday. You see, Vivek and all of his buddies, and the Democrats as well, they're all, first of all, they're the swamp. They literally control all the levers of power within the government, within Ohio. They have untold resources of money and lawyers and worse, at hand. So we all know that anybody within that level of politics can take somebody out in a way that works best for them politically. And that's just what they do. So my only hope, I'm going to be perfectly honest, I only have a few things in my corner right now. I got Jesus, I got a Beretta, and then the hope that the GOP and the establishment is smart enough to know if they do something horrible to me, there's the Barbara Streisand effect. And the public is going to know exactly what happened, and they're going to revolt. And at the very least, at the day when it's time to elect someone in office.
Just because you use the word literally, do you literally feel that your life could be ended because of your candidacy?
Right now. Why do you think I'm carrying? At any moment. I watch everywhere I am, and that's the reason why anywhere I go somewhere. I've got friends are ex-military that will just hang out with me and keep their heads on a swivel. It is that dangerous. And we're all fooling ourselves if we're going to say it's anything other than that. You want something else that's interesting to know about? Why is it that when the United States has such nice beaches, houses, and property, you find a tail number on a private jet associated with Vivek ripping from Cleveland down to the Turk and Caicos Islands? What kind of business can you do that's so important in the Turk and Caicos Islands? With what kind of people that you're gonna go down there instead of spending your time in Ohio where you're campaigning to be governor? We're all fooling ourselves if we think this is anything other than an evil blood sport of people that want to sell out this state for money. What about data centers? You know, these billionaires create multi-billion-dollar projects all around Ohio with massive tax abatements they don't pay taxes on for a decade plus, that the people of Ohio have to subsidize the cost of their electricity bills, meaning we're paying for their electricity, while it destroys Lake Erie, the Ohio River, our aquifers through pollution, using that for cooling, while creating a tiny number of maintenance jobs that don't in any way make it feel us. The data centers are set up only to be a leech upon Ohio, where the billionaire tech bros and tech is profiting massively, and Vivek is here to lie to us and gloss and say, I think Ohio River Valley can be the next Silicon Valley. That's a lie. That's BS political rhetoric, but we're going to stick data centers up your tailpipe, and you're not going to know what was coming until it's here so we can take advantage of the people. That's the world game that's at foot. There are billions upon billions upon billions of dollars at stake, and these people are only here to take advantage of the people of Ohio, and I'm standing up against that. So, yeah, you're damn right, my life is at stake.
Just one more question on this. If who would be the people or the group or the person who would be out to end your life?
Anybody that seeks to gain power from me not existing anymore. And they would do it in a way that gives them more power or political leverage. Again, I think we've all been watching politics long enough to know how this game is played.
Do you believe these would be Ramaswamy people or just people who support him or
anybody?
Anybody.
There's obviously billions of dollars wanting Ramaswamy to come in and take advantage of all of us through the GOP. There's a lot of pride in the GOP that doesn't want to upset the power balance. It doesn't matter. It could be small or large. But if I threaten that, they don't want me to be around. This is not a nice game. It's a stage play.
What is the number one problem in Ohio as you see it?
The number one problem?
Yeah.
Zero leadership that has the best interest of the people of Ohio in mind anymore. Mm. We can't even just live. The walls are closing in socially, economically, across the board. If I've spent the last couple decades of my life building a 100-mile-per-gallon car that has that kind of numbers on and also has a lower carbon footprint per mile than an EV on straight diesel, that blows the entirety of the globalist leftist narrative on electric cars. I've spent the last 11 years of my life not getting paid. Keep in mind, that's where I got the endorsement and the award from President Trump. Not getting paid, building the Genius Garage educational programs, mentoring the best young engineers here in America to help get them jobs, picking up the slack where the educational system leaves off because I know how it's broken and I want to fix it, while big politicians want to keep shoving H-1B Indian cheap foreign labor in and saying we don't have smart enough people here to fill the role. That's an absolute lie. They're doing it so corporations can save hundreds of millions of dollars by selling out our future by hiring cheap Indian labor that we're stuck with. Everything about my life is simply of an Ohioan that cares about Ohio to be able to build a home, a community, a family. And all the generations of my family going back that had to fight in Battle of Okinawa, World War II, F-4 Phantoms in Vietnam, both World Wars, going back to literally blowing the bugle in the cavalry, we have all had to be responsible for ourselves and our community and family and fight for tomorrow. And we don't have any of that in government representing us. We don't have any of that with the candidates in running for governor of Ohio, with the exception of me. And that is why I'm fighting like people that came before me in a different way to ensure that the people, all the people of Ohio, actually have a future.
What do you make of all the candidates who have already endorsed or support Ramaswamy, the Republican candidates?
First day in politics, you know, he's got a lot of money. He was glossy. Not one of them ever expected somebody real to come back. They are blinded. They're blinded by their own party. You know, they're high on their own supply and they don't touch grass anymore. So we're going to find out who has the courage to say, this isn't right with Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek Ramaswamy is going to turn Ohio blue. He has got to go. And it may take a minute, but that tide is going to shift as well in the favor to our campaign. Because once again, I'm Casey Putsch. I am an Ohioan. I'm fighting specifically for the best interests of the people of Ohio.
What would you say to people listening to this morning who might feel that your rhetoric is strong and maybe even hateful at points, if people would say that?
Well, they would be reacting emotionally. To say any of my rhetoric is hateful just goes to show that you didn't listen to any of the things that I said. And if it's strong, yeah, you're darn right it's strong, because this is absolute reality. I don't have to lie to people. I don't have to gloss anything over because I'm out here literally touching grass, literally trying to fight to have a future because guess what? I am a normal person of Ohio. And right now, I don't see that any of us have a future. It just happened to be that I was the first man at bat that decided to stand up and fight against this. So if you think it's strong, it's actually worse. And that's why we all need to wake up and fight together for the future.
And for people who feel that you are a long shot, again, May the 5th, this is February the 5th, so 3 months from today is that primary. How do you become not the long shot? How in 3 months do you defeat Vivek Ramaswamy in the Republican primary?
Well, I'm not a long shot at all, and that's evident by the fact of what the GOP has had to do to be reactionary for me being here and the hostility from them of my own party. You know, it's funny, there's a couple of betting markets where people bet money on the odds of things. Well, when I came out swinging, you can see what the polls did, where I was immediately at 35-36% against Vivek, and he dropped, I don't know, 25 points or more, just immediately. But it's pretty obvious where the money is, because you can see them influxing money into the betting markets to make it look like I have less shot. They're actually padding the betting markets, people out there, to make it look otherwise. So it's anything but a long shot, and that's just rhetoric to hopefully make people forget and then say other silly things like, I'll split the vote, which is not possible. This is a primary. So every time you hear something like that, just realize that the people saying that and continuing those statements are afraid, and they're afraid for the wrong reasons, because they're protecting their disgusting little, their little game.
For people listening out there right now in our final couple of minutes here, what is your pitch for them to vote for you?
I actually care about the future of Ohio. I already have 50 to 70 pages of detailed policy with an incredible team that are not within the swamp, that specifically outline how we're all going to be able to afford a future, how young people are going to be able to afford a home, how we cut taxes, how we're able to absolutely obliterate the waste and fraud that exists and proliferates the entirety of Ohio's economy and government. So everything that we're doing is specifically in the best interest of the future of the people of Ohio. And I would remind you, go to Vivek's website or go to Amy Acton's website, and they just have a few little bullet points on one page of what they might think they want to do. I'm actually out here doing it for real, and we're going to continue on. So voting for me is simply voting for the people of Ohio having a good future and not the uniparty swamp.
Casey, finish this sentence before we wrap up here. Casey Puch is?
A Buckeye.
That's a good word in Ohio.
Well, I think it just goes to say that I'm one of the people. I always have been. My family always has been. This is home, and this is where I'm gonna build a future, try to build a family, and I'm going to fight for all of us to be able to build a community together.
Well, Casey, you certainly are outspoken. I'm so glad you came on this morning, and I hope you will come back with us in the future.
I'm honored to be here. Hey, thank you very much. Go to PutchForOhio.com.
There you go. Casey Puch, running in the Republican primary for governor this coming spring. May the 5th, I believe, is the date. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
That this person said that. Does it keep you up at nights?
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very legitimate.